Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we're joined by Charles Burton from Ottawa, writing at the Ottawa Citizen. Canada's new top soldier needs to protect our Arctic from China. Charles, a very good day to you. Your Arctic, we've touched on this subject before. You're being very blunt that something must be done. What do we know about the Trudeau government and their opinion of the Arctic, especially now that China is claiming to be a near Arctic nation with nuclear, with icebreakers? Russia has at least one nuclear powered icebreaker and the seas are opening. Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I think the main issue here with regard to the attitude of the government of Canada is that the government's not prepared to allocate much in the way of funds to defense, as we've discussed on this program. And in particular, Canada's Arctic is essentially undefended. There are commitments to put in 12 nuclear submarines, or such a suggestion was made at the most recent NATO meeting, where Canada was roundly criticized for not fulfilling our obligations to the collective defense of NATO. But the funding for this will not be announced for another 4 years. And won't come into play until 2032. In the meantime, China is working hard mapping the floor of the Arctic seas. Russia has made several indications, including to the UN, that they believe that the Arctic seas right up to the Canadian continental shelf should be considered Russian territory. And they are expanding their military presence there in a big way. The benefit of having access to Arctic minerals and sea passages is potentially enormous. And as we discussed on the program before, China did make an attempt to acquire through a state firm a gold mine in the north of Canada, a money-losing gold mine, which had access to Arctic sea ports. So, you know, it's not just about the seas and the underwater mineral resources, but also about the potential for China to start impinging on actual North American territory. You know, I think the concern is whether we would see a parallel in the Arctic seas to what China has done in the South China Sea of making extravagant claims of the Polar Silk Road and then enforcing them, claiming that international waters actually belong, I suppose, to Russia, but really Russia would simply be a proxy for Chinese interests in this matter.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, by far the greatest portion of Canada's territory is Arctic or near Arctic areas. What's wrong with Canada? It's not defending the majority or the greatest part of its country.
Yes. I mean, what kind of country cannot defend its borders from incursions? Of course, the U.S. does have a problem in the south, but this is a whole different level of geostrategic threat where we're looking at an enormous border of, I think, probably one of the largest undefended borders in the world that is opening itself up by being absent to foreign claims. I think it's very hard for the international community to support Canadian claims to this critical territory if there is no Canadian presence there of any significance. So we really need to be putting in military bases and getting personnel up there to show it's ours. At present, Canada periodically has airplanes flying over our claimed territory. It's not a very convincing assertion of sovereignty at all.
Charles, the leader of the Conservatives, Pierre Poilievre, has spoken adamantly about the Trudeau government. Has he spoken of the defense business, especially when it comes to the Arctic? Or is there a Conservative position on this matter?
We haven't seen any significant position of the while you have conservatives with regard to foreign policy or defense. I think that he's so far ahead in the polls that the strategy seems to be not to articulate any positions for fear that that could cause him to lose advantage in the next election. But we have no indication that Mr. Poilievre plans to make any significant changes to Canada's defense allocations. And as former President Trump has pointed out, this is not just a problem of today. This is a problem that's been going back decades of Canadian underfunding on the assumption that when push comes to shove, the United States will defend us from foreign threats. And I think that those days are rapidly drawing to a close as the U.S. adopts a more self-interested defense and foreign policy stance.
Gordon, you have a question.
Charles, you mentioned the Republican presidential nominee. He has famously talked about not defending free riders. If we look at NATO, the biggest free rider is probably Canada. What are Canadians thinking about their defense budgets going forward if indeed the Republican is elected?
Well, we haven't seen any particular push politically for Canada to expand its defense funding. It seems that the populace is content with these pie-in-the-sky assertions that we'll get it together by 2032. And this is an enormous concern, certainly among the chattering classes like myself. We are very concerned about Canada's inability to defend itself and to have an independent defense and to gain respect in the world by demonstrating our capacity to meet the challenge of China and Russia in the areas north of our national boundary. But I'm not seeing any significant public demand that our government start to allocate tax dollars into defense and security matters, both internationally and, of course, domestically, because we have an enormous problem of Chinese espionage and influence operations in our country, which we are meeting by holding a commission to talk about it.
You have a new chief of the defense staff, General Jenny Carrigan. Is there a same separation in Canada there is in the U.S.? The civilians speak for defense and not the generals?
Yes, I think that that is true. Certainly, the general and her predecessor have commented in general about the threat. They feel that we have 5 years to get ourselves together to meet the challenge of Russia and China. But as you say, they don't get to decide what the budget is and have to accept what the Prime Minister's office through his Minister of National Defense tells them. But we have a serious, serious problem of low numbers. We're about 16,000 short of our desired 100,000 troop cohort, and a terrible problem in procurement. And so we're really not in a war footing and ready to meet these challenges. And if anything is going to happen significantly, we'll need to have a dramatic change in stance by the government, and I think a much more aggressive stance by the Chief of Defense Staff in telling the government that we really can't continue like this if we want to maintain the integrity of our nation.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Charles, when it comes to the Arctic, the U.S. and Canada have competing claims, correct?
Yes. I mean, there are some claims with regard to international waters. So the U.S. occasionally runs a submarine through waters that Canada believes are our sovereign territory. Most of the time, the U.S. advises us as a matter of courtesy that they'll be doing this. Some of the time, they haven't. But I'm not seeing this as a major concern. I think our main concern is the Russians and the Chinese. I think with regard to these other claims, we do have an Arctic Council, and there does seem to be a fairly consensual process among the Arctic nations with regard to territory and determination of national waters and international waters. So it doesn't seem to be a major friction between Canada and the United States at this time.
Charles Burton, of Senior Fellow at Synopsis, is in Ottawa. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it sippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.